Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Go to the Dude Maker Hotline and say hello to Anthony Ryan of Ignatius. And I guess I should say, happy Feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola Day, Anthony. How are you?
Thank you very much. Same to you. And I'm glad that you got to know about the life of St. Ignatius. Hopefully you've got a devotion to him now, Mike.
You know what, Anthony? I don't see after how anyone can watch that film, and so well made. I don't see how anybody can watch that film and not have a devotion to the man.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great film, and we did have it in the theaters, as you mentioned, in January through probably April, and then we just released it on DVD. But it is a powerful film. It's actually made by the Jesuits from the Philippines. They have a communication center in the Philippines, the Jesuits, and you know, they wanted to make a movie about their founder. There's really never been a full feature film made about St. Ignatius of Loyola, which is kind of amazing. At least one that's, you know, around anymore. Maybe they made one 100 years ago. I don't know. But, you know, so they, you know, the Jesuit Communication Center, Media Center, they got together. They raised some money. They found a great young talented director named Pablo Dai that actually went through the Jesuit schools growing up in the Philippines, so already had some familiarity with the story of Ignatius. Talented young guy, hired him. He worked to put together a crew. They went to Spain because they wanted to shoot this where Ignatius lived, and they wanted to use actors from Spain to make it as authentic as possible. So they auditioned for the cast in Spain, came up with a great cast. You mentioned the actor. The actor was just outstanding. I mean, he's really kind of what makes the movie happen. And he also spoke English, so they wanted to shoot the film in English. So for our benefit, that is really nice that they did that.
It is.
Instead of subtitles or dub, we have a great film that was actually shot in English about the life of St. Ignatius.
One of the other things about the film that lends some authenticity to it, and you were mentioning the young actor who plays Ignatius. It's not just the him though. There's a great supporting cast of no names of just actors, I guess, that make up the rest of the cast. Like for example, you really start to have some sort of a enmity for the tribunal judges because they, you know, they play their part very well, and they actually have you thinking like, you guys are jerks. Leave him alone. Stop picking on him. And it's just again, as I said, Anthony, I tell you, I the first time I watched it, and I went in with very low expectations. Because I went, I never heard this director before. This didn't seem like it was a major studio release, and it wasn't. I'd never heard of this actor before, and I just didn't have a lot of expectations. I'm usually disappointed by any film that attempts to be Catholic, because they either wind up insulting the faith or directly assaulting it, one of the two. And they very rarely get it right these days. With 30 minutes to go, I was just a blubbering pile of reduced human flesh, just looking at the ceiling going, I'm not worthy! This man was holy!
Good thing you weren't in the movie theater then when you saw it.
Oh, I would love to have borne witness in front of a bunch of people like that.
Yeah, it is powerful. very high quality film. We were actually, you know, we were skeptical too. I mean, after all, this is who we're named after at Ignatius Press. This is our patron saint, Father Fessia, who founded Ignatius Press as a Jesuit. So we were skeptical. Like you, we were stunned by the quality of this film. And they, you know, they based it really on his story. It's not, there's not a lot of artistic license. There's some, like in any movie. But generally, they really wanted to be true to the story of St. Ignatius and tell it as it happened in history. And so they do. And even for some of us who work at Ignatius Press, we learned some things about him that we didn't know. I mean, you mentioned the whole thing with the Inquisition. I didn't know that about him. I've been working for Ignatius Press for 36 years.
Wow.
I didn't know that part of his story. I mean, I haven't really read a biography of him. So, you know, I knew the general outline of his story, of course. But that, it was really fascinating, that part in the film, as you mentioned, where he is, he goes on trial with the Inquisition that was run by the Dominicans. So you have the Dominicans taking on the future Jesuit. He's not a Jesuit yet, but I just thought that was kind of an interesting conflict there.
I thought the most fascinating part about it, Anthony, was the fact that what was on trial were the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius.
That's exactly right. They were questioning whether he was a heretic or not. Where did he come up with these teachings? How did he think he had the right to spread them among other people? Yeah, so they were really thoroughly examining the exam.
Now, here I have a special treat for the audience. This is a preview clip, and so and thank you for the DVD. But as I said, I had already purchased one, so we have a studio copy now. Here is a little excerpt, Anthony, from the film and from the trial of of Ignatius of Loyola, as he was at the time.
Gatherings. Your followers say you give them the spiritual exercises. What are these?
We start from a simple idea. Man was made to know God, to give glory to God, and reciprocate his man's love. If this is our ultimate purpose, then whatever brings us towards God causes inner joy and peace, what I call consolation. And whatever brings us away from God causes anguish, pain, and emptiness, what I call desolation. Using the spiritual exercises, one can learn to be more sensitive to these movements of the soul and discern which ones are from God and which ones are from the enemy.
But why do you need any other way of listening to God's voice when His word is already clearly written in the Bible? The commandments are very clear.
The exercises are not for the easy questions with obvious answers. It is a skill that one needs to practice, and always under the guidance of a spiritual mentor. In time, one learns to be quiet, to listen, and obey.
How many years have you applied yourself to formal studies, Señor Loyola?
2 years of basic studies at Barcelona, 1 year at Alcalá, and now just starting here at Salamanca.
And of those years, how many in theology?
Less than a year.
And yet, you are now preaching a rather complex and detailed method of prayer.
The method comes from my own experiences of prayer and discernment. It has helped many people find solace and direction.
I am sure. I think there is a simple explanation for all these strange, unquestionable happenings around the accused. This man is one of the alumbrados. Illuminati. Blasphemers who think themselves in...
All right. So, Anthony, that's a powerful scene. Ignatius of Loyola is accused of being a member of the Illuminati.
Right, yeah. Also called the Alumbrados or something like that. He was. They didn't know who he was. You know, he was a stranger. He was a guy out in the streets talking to the people about the spiritual experiences that he had himself, as he mentioned in the film. Developed himself, but of course they didn't know who he was, and this is the time when they're trying to clamp down on, you know, heresies and so forth. So, you know, in a way you can understand why they were checking him out. And it was interesting, as you the clip you played in the film there, the back and forth. I thought the dialogue was excellent. I thought the script was really well written. You know, you could kind of take sides. You can understand both sides of
right.
this situation, where they really wanted to be sure there weren't people out there just preaching anything that came into their minds about the, you know, the Catholic faith. But Ignatius defends himself well, as that little clip shows. And these are the Dominicans. These are the well-formed, you know, well-educated Dominicans
sure.
he's dealing with. And there's three of them on that tribunal.
Yep.
But it's interesting, the one who ends up really defending him and you know, helping him to win the case is, of course, is a Dominican. So who I thought was also another great actor.
Well, and at the end, I don't want to give the end away, but there's a nice little twist at the end where after the trial, you need to watch the film to see how the trial ends. But after the trial, that defense lawyer, if you will, or defense canon lawyer, you know, drops the kind of the foreshadowing of what's about what ultimately happened to Ignatius Loyola. No. I need you to go to the seminary in Paris. I've got rooms full of eggheads that can answer questions. I don't have anyone that actually has the faith. Just the way he said it to him is just part of the film. I'm talking with Anthony Ryan, who is the marketing director for Ignatius Press, about the film Ignatius of Loyola, Soldier, Sinner, Saint, which is available at the Ignatius website, and which you can find at CatholicCompany.com, for example, or just go to the Ignatius Press. Many of you probably already get the catalog that is mailed out. And, of course, we have an order in, so we'll have some here in our store by the end of the week. Now, let's just talk a little bit about what happened when the film came out, because it came out back in January, right?
Yeah, we released it in theaters in January, and we're not a film studio, so it's not a traditional type of release. We do what's called sponsored theatrical screenings. We've mm-hmm. done this with other films like Mary of Nazareth and the one on Augustine. And so what we do is we work with Catholic organizations, Catholic groups, schools, etc., parishes too. You know, have their own screening event in their local movie theater, which is a great thing, because you know, you have a great Catholic story right there in your local movie theater. You invite people to come. It's a kind of an opportunity for evangelization.
Sure.
You can also use a fundraiser and so forth. But, yeah, really an opportunity for evangelization and just a night to get together with your community. So we did that, and it was very successful. Lots of groups put this movie in the theater working with us. Had a great response to it, and then we just released it on DVD here in the spring, or you know, or late spring, early summer, and that's been very popular. And we have with the DVD, just so your listeners know, besides the movie, we have a great booklet. Our goal with films at Ignatius Press is get people to go deeper. So the film is just to open the door. And then we put a little booklet in there that kind of expands on the story, tells the story of St. Ignatius in more detail. And then hopefully people want more, they can go and read, you know, various books on him that are available. We publish some of them, but there's lots of books on him. And then the film, the DVD also has some making of. I don't know if you had a chance to watch those, Mike, but there's some good segments that were made about the background of this film, how they came to make it, the making of it.
I did. Well, I devoured the whole thing. I read the book, read all the watched all the special features, seen the feature three times. And I was curious. So as soon as I finished watching the movie, I'm wow, that didn't really happen. So I went and looked it up. I wanted to know more about the story of the chance meeting with the Duchess or the Princess or whoever that was.
And yeah, Elena, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, and it did happen. That is actually it. That is true. That actually did occur.
Yeah,
and that was that was part of the conversion story. The other thing that I didn't know, Anthony. And there was enough detail in this. You could have made an epic and added another hour to it, but Ignatius of Loyola, when you say Loyola, today we have, right here in New Orleans where I live, we have Loyola University, right, which used to be run by the Jesuits. Today, I'm not sure what they do, but they still call it Loyola. You have Loyola University around Washington, D.C. You have Loyola of Chicago. Obviously, the name St. Ignatius of Loyola is very commonplace among Catholics, and most other people know it as well. But what you don't know is at the time in Spain, a name like Loyola was, I mean, this was a very noble, very well-to-do family, and it was a very large family. It was whoever the brothers were of Mr. Loyola, and all those lived in this area. I think actually in a town called Loyola. What they just called the town Loyola, it was actually named for the family. So Ignatius kind of, you know, was expected to be, and this is another part of the story that I did not know, was expected to be the son that, when it was needed, would lead the men of Loyola in battle.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what he grew up with. And he wanted to be a great knight. That was the goal of his life, to be a great knight, to be a great military leader. You know, he grew up reading the story of El Cid, Song of Roland. This is really what was kind of the goal of his life. And he was a great swordsman. That was what was expected of him. That's what he wanted. That was his dream. He was the youngest of 13 children. So talk about a big family. And grew up in the castle there. The castle's still there. If you go to Spain, you can visit the castle. We just did it on a pilgrimage to Fatima. We stopped in Loyola.
Oh.
And, you know, after seeing the movie and so forth, it's very inspiring to go to the castle, which they've preserved, and they've actually built a beautiful church there as well, right there as part of the castle in honor of St. Ignatius. But you see the room where he had his conversion. You know, I mean, for us, that was just so moving, where he read the books and, you know, had this incredible transformation in his life right there in that castle when he was recovering from the injury of the, you know, his leg almost being destroyed by the cannonball. But, yeah, no, he was definitely, his whole goal, as the movie portrays well, was to be a great military hero.